We have started a study of the book of Romans. It is a book that is heavy in doctrine, but it's a doctrine that we can apply. We don't want to just simply be smart sinners. We want to be able to apply His Word, and doctrine is important. We know that in the last days that men are going to gather around them people who will teach fables, give book reviews, and people will not endure sound doctrine. Paul warned Timothy about that, and we need to be warned about that as well. And another thing is that they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrinal teaching is something that is endured. I mean, you have to buckle down, put your thinking cap on. It's not it's like running a race or like the Olympics. I guess we'll be using the Olympics as illustrations. People endure pain. They endure fatigue. And oftentimes, the study of doctrine will produce pain and fatigue. And we will become, sometimes we might become weary and well-doing. And if we become weary and well-doing and faint, we are not going to reap. The farmer won't reap if he doesn't plant the crop and tend to it. So I want to read Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, for scripture reading this morning. And then we will pick up with verse 1 again. We left off last Sunday. We'll probably do some repeating. But part of enduring doctrine is repetition. Because if you're going to learn the Word of God, it takes repetition. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked somewhat about this book last Sunday, and we just mentioned the fact that this book is a book of doctrine. It is not a book of how to be saved. This book is a book to teach us how to please God, and how to have a heavenly inheritance. How to rule and reign with Christ. We just mentioned the fact that Paul's message was that of the gospel of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it's it's expressed in a different phrase when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. So this book is a book that is written concerning His coming kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. By way of review, I want to just touch on who Paul was. In Acts chapter 22, Paul says, in his defense, he says, I am barely a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, that is Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a Bible teacher. He was a teacher of the law. He was a well-respected man among those of Israel in his day. And Gamaliel taught him according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. He was talking to Jews, and he says, I'm just as zealous about the things of God as you are. Of course, these people wanted to stone him that he's talking to in Acts chapter 22. So Paul is telling him, he says, I've learned under the leaders of our denomination, if you want to put it that way. He says, I've been taught to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers. He says, I know the law of Moses. I was taught the law of Moses. So Paul was a well-educated man. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. It's interesting that Paul was of the tribe of the first king of Israel. Saul was a Benjamite, and so was Paul. But anyway, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. It's touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, he was part of the political environment among the Jews of his day. And concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. I think this should encourage all of us. Paul was able to turn around his life by the power of Christ in his life, and God gave him a unique, powerful ministry to the church that he was making havoc of and persecuting. And so when you think about what Paul was doing to something that was important to the Lord, and yet the Lord could use him, let me tell you, the Lord can use you. I don't know of anyone in our congregation right now that is persecuting the church. I don't know of any of you that are out looking for Christians to kill them. Paul was doing that as well as throwing them into prison. And so the Lord was able to turn Paul's life around. He can turn your life around if it needs to be turned around, okay? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Paul was obedient to the law. And of course, he was obedient to the Mosaic law, which everybody was before Jesus Christ died on the cross, because it was at the cross is where all the ceremonial law was nailed to. Before that, even Jesus Christ submitted to the Mosaic law. Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem to present Jesus. They had him circumcised. So everyone before the cross was needed to be obedient to not only the moral law, but also to the law of Moses. So Paul, as far as touching the righteousness which is of the law, and I would say that this is probably the moral law as well as the ceremonial law, he was blameless. Even the killing of Stephen's, as far as Paul was concerned, was the right thing to do, because anytime you have a false prophet in your midst, what did you do? What did the nation of Israel do to false prophets? They stoned them. So Paul had zeal, though he did not have knowledge, and the Lord changed that around. In Galatians 1:13 and 14, it says, "For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." Traditions often have a very strong hold on our lives. Tradition often overrules the Bible. Tradition. This is the way we've done it. This is the way we've believed. And if we don't hear it the way we've always believed, it must be error. And yet, not any of us have arrived at understanding and knowing all of that has been revealed in this book. So, tradition can squelch the knowledge of the Scriptures. Now, Paul was a servant. In 1 Corinthians 9:13, he says, Though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul made himself a servant. Do we need to do that? Absolutely. We need to be servants. Jesus says, if you want to be great in my family, you need to become a servant. And when you think about the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many are kings in his family right now? None. In fact, all of us are servants. And so we become servants of servants. And that's pretty low, isn't it? We shouldn't be thinking too very, very highly of ourselves when you think of being a servant of servants. But we need to be caring for each other. Paul was a servant. And he made himself a servant unto all that he might gain more or that he might minister to more. When we put ourselves above other people, we don't have a tendency to minister to them or care about them, do we? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, Paul tells us how he served the church, not only in Thessalonica, but other places as well. He says, we were gentle among you. Many people think Paul was a pretty gruff old bachelor. He didn't like marriage and that type of thing, but that's not true. Paul was a gentle man. He was gentle, as a nurse cherisheth her children. That's how Paul treated those in Thessalonica and Corinth and Rome and other places. He nourished, he fed them, he cared for them, he ministered to them. I just think about, I can't remember this, but anyway, I was told, my grandmother used to rock me and pat me on the bottom and sing old time songs about the old gray mare and other things, you know, nourishing me and helping me get to sleep and maybe even giving me the bottle. To give me something to satisfy my hunger. Paul was gentle. He was affectionately desirous of them. He was moved by them. He was touched by their infirmities. He was touched by them. And we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. This is the kind of servant Paul was, and we need to be that kind of a servant too. When I think about imparting not only the gospel, he imparted his soul. Imparting of his soul has to do with his living. This has to do with the way he was living. He was ministering to them because they were dear unto him. And so Paul was a servant. He made himself a servant. He made himself a nurse. He made himself one who affectionately cared for them. And Paul kind of tells us how we need to do this serving in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Be not slothful in business, is the way the King James reads it. But the word slothful can also be translated delay. are tardy. Slothful means that you lay around and hope they'll go away. Hope the need will change. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be tardy about ministering to each other. That's the point I think he's saying here. He says, don't wait around to minister to other people. Be looking for need. And as you see the need, minister to that need. Now, you can't minister to everybody's need, and God doesn't want us to try to minister to everybody's need. And because that way I don't give you a chance to minister to somebody's need. You know, I'm not going to be elbowing my way in and saying, hey, I've got, you know, I'm going to do this. You're not going to get to do this. That's not the way it is. We are all servants. We're looking to serve and to care for each other. And we give people room to minister to other people. Not only that, but we're to be fervent in spirit. This word fervent also carries the thought to be hot. Fervent in spirit means steamed up over this thing. You know, we're not going to be tardy. We're going to be on time. We're going to be there when the need is there. And that's how we need to be serving the Lord. So Paul sort of defines the intensity or the level of the service that we need to have. And of course he talks about it later on in chapter 1 of Romans. Now Paul was called. He was called, and by the way, the word called is an adjective describing Paul. He was called. And if you look in the text, the word to be is in italics. And the way the King James translators and the word and the printing of the King James Bible, they put words in italics that are not in the text. To be is not in the Greek text. So this is describing Paul as one who is called. And also Paul was an apostle. And Paul was separated. So this is, he's a servant, he's a call servant, he's a called apostle, and he was separated, and we will look at these words a little as we go along here. It's interesting here, the word separated is perfect, in the perfect tense, and it's passive. The perfect tense means simply that he was called before he knew he was called. He was separated, before he knew he was going to be separated. Because when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the Lord was bringing to pass plans and purposes that he had for Paul, that he knew about and wanted to accomplish in Paul ages before. And the passive voice simply means this. Paul was not active in this in his separation. He was submissive. The passive voice implies submission on the part of the individual. And Paul didn't resist. When he saw the light, you know what Paul said? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? He acknowledged, first of all, that he was in charge. And then the next thing he asked is, what do you want me to do? It reminds me of the man who rescued Napoleon. He risked his life in grabbing the horse that ran away with Napoleon on it. And Napoleon says, and he was an enlisted man, and Napoleon says, thank you, Captain. And the guy says, of what regiment, sir? And that's what Paul said. Who are you, and what do you want me to do? And he did it. He did it. And we need to do the same thing. So, Paul was called. Now, I think the call, being an adjective, describes that he was called. Now, what does it mean to be called? Well, not all of us are called like Paul when we think about Paul's calling on the road to Damascus. Many people think Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. And I had a fella, and I've told you this before, tell me that if I have the same experience, a light shine out of heaven, I'll get saved too. Well, I think that's a legitimate comment. If Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, what Paul was doing was being called on the road to Damascus for a particular job that he had as an apostle. And so therefore, Paul heard the Lord speaking to him when those that are around him, they couldn't understand what was going on. And that's the difference between those who have ears to hear and those who don't. Those in the company of Paul heard a noise, but they didn't understand what was being said. And that's part of the calling. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you, who have ears to hear, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that is, that don't have ears to hear, it is not given." In other words, there are messages in the Bible that are for a particular people with a particular calling. And this has nothing to do with salvation at all. This has to do with position. It has to do with position in the kingdom of the heavens. And a lot of people think that, you know, we have the idea that the only place to be is in heaven. Well, why is God going to make a new heaven and a new earth? Is everybody going to be sitting around in heaven looking down at the ball that's turning around under them? No, there's going to be people here on the earth. I was looking at an ad on TV, and it had to do with Columbus. And Columbus was before the Queen of Spain, and he held up a ball. And the Queen says, you'll have your ships. So they're rowing out in the bay, and Columbus says, "Take me to the flagship." And the guy rowing it says, "You're in it now." Well, the point is, there's really no point in that. Simply the fact that there's a ball, the earth is round, there's going to be people that are going to be on that earth. And there are going to be those in the heavens, and there's going to be those on the earth. And the message of the kingdom of the heavens has to do with those who will rule and reign from the heavens over the people that are here on the earth. Okay? So, those who have ears to hear are the ones who are going to be ruling and reigning in the heavenlies. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. "For many are called, but few are chosen." So the calling is not to get saved, but the calling is unto His kingdom and glory, which we will see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But let me just bring out the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 first, because I want you to see the chain of events. "Who has saved us and called us." You have to be saved before you can be called. Dead people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, they don't hear a thing. You can't whisper or yell in a dead man's ear and get him to jump or get him to respond. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you're not hearing. There's only one message that you really can hear, and that's the message that God gives: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But when it comes to the calling that we're talking about here in the Scriptures, it has to do with those that are saved, those that are already in the family. And that calling is not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Let me say this. We're not called because we're extra good boys and girls in the family of God. That's not the way it works. We're called because God wants to call you and to call me to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. And it was not based upon your performance. Jacob was chosen over Esau. And it sure wasn't based on his performance. That old lying, sneaking cheat. That's what he was. And yet, God chose him to be over Esau. Chose him to be over Esau. So it's not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the ages began. Back when ages began, that was way back before the foundation of the earth. I think this is when Paul, or when God thought about calling or separating Paul to the ministry that He had him designed to have. And that calling, according to 1 Thessalonians 2:12, is that we should walk worthy of God who hath called us unto His kingdom and glory. The calling is unto the kingdom. The kingdom is the millennial reign of Christ, where He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, or the best resurrection. On such the second death shall have no power, and they shall be priests of God, and they will rule and reign with Him 1,000 years. It has to do with ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. So he was called unto His kingdom. Paul was an apostle. The word apostle really means one that has been sent or sent from. And it's interesting to note, Paul struggled with his office. He didn't struggle with it. He knew he was called. He knew he was an apostle. But there were other people that were saying, hey, wait a minute, you think Paul's really an apostle? I don't know. You know, he wasn't in on the election. He wasn't in on the casting of lots. You know, when Peter and all the 120 were choosing an apostle to replace Judas. I don't know that Paul's really an apostle. He just claims to be one. Well, Paul affirms that over and over. Paul, an apostle, not of men. I think what Paul had in mind was the casting of lots back in the days when Peter and all the guys were choosing Matthias. Remember that? They cast lots. It was men that were doing this activity. Neither by man. In other words, nobody appointed Paul an apostle. There were no human beings appointing Paul. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It was a resurrected Jesus Christ that arrested Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus chose Paul just like he chose the other men, his other apostles. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I like this, by the commandment of God. But there's no other authority than that. God commanded it, and you know what? It came to pass. And not only the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So Paul was an apostle, and it was by commandment. And later on in the book of Romans, Paul says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul was an apostle, but he was also an apostle that was sent to the Gentiles. And he says, I magnify my office. I want you to know who I am. I am one that is teaching and preaching to the Gentiles. And he acknowledges the fact in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he says, talking about Peter, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, who are the uncircumcised? The Gentiles. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So Paul and Peter had separate ministries, even though Paul blended his missionary efforts. Whenever he went out to, on a missionary journey, he went from one synagogue to the other. So he was reaching out to Jews, and he was going into synagogues, but he was reaching out to Gentiles. And so Peter was to the circumcision as Paul was to the Gentiles. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty toward me, toward the Gentiles. So Paul was an apostle. He was one that was sent. And there were kind of rumors going around Corinth that Paul wasn't an apostle. And I want to complete this thought, and then we will be dismissed. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 says, Am I not an apostle? Somebody was questioning him, his apostleship apparently, and they were questioning his authority. He says, Am not I free? I'm not in bondage to anybody. I'm not under Peter. I'm not under anyone. I'm free. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? In other words, he's just like the other apostles. In fact, he spent 3 years in Arabia, apparently, being tutored. That's a pretty good class. One-on-one instead of 1-on-12. You learn more on 1-on-1 than you do on 1-on-12 or whatever. Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am unto you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. In other words, you are evidence of my apostleship. And so Paul struggled with that. Or at least he didn't struggle with it. He was trying to help other people to appreciate the fact that he had the authority of an apostle. But yet, Paul was not haughty and proud. He did say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 9, For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Paul knew that he didn't really deserve what he had, and none of us do. None of us deserve what we have. And Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. I'm the last on the list. And then in chapter 11, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles. In other words, what he was saying is this, look, I'm not worthy to be an apostle, but I'm not one whit less than the authority of the chiefest of apostles. My office is secure. I'm an apostle. I'm on the same plane as that of James and Peter and others. I'm not the least. I'm not one whit behind them. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 12:11, he says, I have become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. You know, it's Paul's, people were putting Paul down and they were questioning his authority, and today we are honoring the apostle Paul by studying what he wrote. Why? That we might be profitable servants to the Lord, and that we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul has authority in our lives because of what he wrote. And we need to respect what he wrote, and that's the reason why we're studying what he wrote. Because, you know what? The Lord gave it to him to write it down. It's not his own thoughts. When it was his own thoughts, he told us it was. But I tell you what, he was a pretty good source. So we don't really ignore those too much either. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we just pray that you'd bless the ministry of this book in our life. We just pray, Father, that you would help us to respond unto the calling that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that you saved us and that you've called us with a holy calling. We thank you, Father, that we can enter your kingdom and to rule and reign with you. But while we're waiting for that day, we need to be servants. We need to be diligent. We don't need to be slothful. We need to be looking about, seeking whom we can serve and minister to, as Paul did. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us not to be greater than others, but Lord, help us to be servants of servants. We again thank you for your word, and we just pray you'd bless your word to each of our hearts and lives, that it might glorify thee and be very profitable to us. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.